Oh, hi. I'm Uli John Roth. You're listening or watching to Talking Rock with David Chang.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Halford.
Rudy Sargent.
Hi there. This is Steve Hackett.
You folks, this is Rick Emmett of Triumph. And we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Thank you for joining us on the Rock of Nations show. You're bringing your North American tour to Detroit in April. We are absolutely excited. We can't wait to see your show. What does it feel like to tour the States again?
I always enjoy touring the States. I've been doing it for years. I mean, of course, thanks to COVID now, I haven't been around for 4 or 5 years. That's the longest absence I've had in a long time. So we're all looking forward to it, not just myself but my whole band. We all love touring the States. And we're coming to Detroit regularly. In fact, Westland Token Lounge is a regular stop of ours. You know, I enjoyed their great audience, nice venue, and yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, there's a lot of longtime fans of yours here in Detroit and Philadelphia, too, where we also host the show.
Yeah, Philly as well.
Do those cities stand out to you, Detroit and Philly? Any favorite memories from over the years?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, sometimes it all merges into one, but I remember having played quite a few really nice concerts there, and I can picture the venue in my mind like the back of my hand. I must have been there like 5 or 6 times. You know, it was part literally of every single tour. And I remember they've got a big electric fish in the entrance hall. I always look forward to seeing that fish. Although there's a replica now because the old one died, I think. But it was quite big. It had all the other fish, unfortunately. Mm. But, I'm looking forward to that fish. And the audience, of course. But for some reason, it's always at the back of mind. Token Lounge, the big fish, here he is.
Yeah, we can't wait. We caught your attention way back in the 70s, of course. That was a blazing time for rock and roll, and your guitar work certainly stood out. Can you talk about, you know, just, I mean, joining the Scorpions, was any early collaborations with Michael Schenker, and just what that time was like?
Well, it was an amazing time. It was a time of, I mean, we were young. You know, I started there that when I was 18. So it was very much in my formative years, and everything was new and exciting, you know. And we were quite inspired. I thought we wrote a lot of new music back then. And some of that stuff, we're playing it to the present day, so it can't be that bad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was listening to Tokyo Tapes the other night, and it still holds up. I mean, everything you did, Will Burn the Sky, all of that. What do you think of where the band's
we're
going?
Playing
I mean,
these.
Talk about what it's like still playing those classics. Do they feel timeless? Because they certainly do to us as fans.
They do feel timeless because otherwise I wouldn't be playing them. You know, every night they are coming to life as if they'd just been written, and that's really what it's all about. You know, they need to you need to imbue them with the full spirit so they are alive, and they come alive on stage and in the minds of the audience. It's a beautiful thing, you know. And also, it's nice when you can see that a lot of the people in the audience grew up with that kind of stuff musically. So it goes back a long way. And then when they hear something, it reminds them of their youth. And I understand that. It's nice. It's a nice thing to do, you know.
Yeah. What did you make of the 80s? I mean, you obviously left the band in the late 70s. What did you make of kind of, you know, Blackout, Love at First Sting, and kind of where they went from
there? Yeah, you see, I have to admit the 80s really passed me by in terms of music business. I kind of ignored everything. I was just interested in creating my own new music, which was Electric Sun. And having said that, that did actually not really fit into the 80s. Everybody, all the other bands were doing hair metal and corporate rock, and I didn't. You know, mine was an anachronism, but it worked. When we came to America in 85, we had a lot of audience and people seemed to really enjoy it, you know. And some of these people are still there in the audience or were there, you know. So I'm not a good reference for this question, what it was like in the 80s, because... yeah, I was not really part of that scene. I was very much an outsider.
Yeah. You're playing, there's kids on YouTube playing your guitar licks. What does it feel like to influence a whole new, multiple generations of guitar players? And who were some of your early influences?
My early influences were Eric Clapton and Jimi Hendrix, you know, above all. And Clapton first, and then Hendrix a little later, but yeah, he made a deep impression. And then also some others, you know, Jeff Beck, I would say, but also other people, flamenco players, you know, like Manitas de Plata, Paco de Lucía. So, yeah.
Yeah. On the other hand, like, we have your playing, and we love live music. On the other hand, music nowadays... AI seems to be taking a greater hold. There was an alarming article in Rolling Stone about how AI is the future of music, essentially. What do you think of AI technology as it relates to music creation versus live playing and such?
I love AI when it comes to picture creation. It's a very interesting tool, which I'm also using to great effect to help me formulate new ideas. So I've got no problem with any of that. When it comes to music, I've got no experience with AI. I don't think it would be that interesting for me because I'm just doing it all by myself. You know, why would I need some artificial help? If AI comes up with something better than I can, great. Let the best man win. You know, I'm interested to see. But I think it might be a long time before AI can come up with something really new. And I've always prided myself in coming up with new ideas. And that's not a strong point of AI. AI tends to do more of the same or variations of the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
AI is not a pathfinder. It's more like a follower of what already exists. So anyways, you know, I mean, that's my take on it. I'm not in any way intimidated by it. But as I said, you know, if AI just starts doing better Uli genre than myself, great. I don't have to do it anymore. I can take a backseat and plant flowers in the garden, tend to my cat. Which wouldn't be so bad, you know. So, yeah. Somebody's got to do the work, you know. If the computer can do it better than me, I'm all for it. But I would find that hard to believe at this present time, you know. Maybe maybe after I'm gone, you know. We will see.
Well, yeah, I think you definitely outrank a computer for sure. Uli genre, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you.
You're very welcome.